We are blessed to be in your presence. We're honored to know that you cared enough about us to come down to earth and dwell among us, to live a life of perfection, to be hung on a cross for my sins and the sins of those that are deserving of death, all of us, and yet you were the one that paid that price and took on that burden. We thank you, Jesus, that plan worked perfectly, that after 3 days in the tomb, you are risen, you're alive and well right now, and sent Holy Spirit to dwell among us and to work within us. And we thank you, God, that your perfect plans are always better than anything we can come up with. I ask that as we face various different adversities in our life, that we recognize that you're in control, that you're God and you're good, and that you're going to turn even the bad things into something positive. And thank you that you have redeemed us, you've called us your own, you've declared us righteous, you've accepted us, and we're so grateful for that, God. Amen. Few months ago, or years ago, how long has it been we've been in Luke here? Going to finish Luke today, believe it or not. And I did tell you all that I would stay as a minister as long as it took to get through Luke. I've been racing through Luke. We're planning on staying longer. This isn't the end or anything. No. Just everybody keeps asking us, when are you leaving? It's like when we first got here. When are you leaving? But it's been a pleasure to serve this community for almost 15 years now, and it's home. It's comfortable. It feels good. But I know God's got big things for this congregation, and I know that He's growing His church with or without me, and that's something we all need to recognize, that it's not the paid staff or the ministers that grow the church. It's God working through the entire congregation. I love how you guys are in the community working, just living, expressing the joy that you have, and when people ask, you're willing to explain to them about Jesus and invite them to church, invite them to potlucks, invite them into your homes. This is an open congregation with a warmness toward the community, and I really love that. You know, that is not something that every community has. It's something that we have to honor and not let go of. It's like when Paul was writing to the church in Thessalonica, he said, "Y'all are doing really good. Do more. You're doing great. Get better." And it's just, there's no holding back. You know, when Jesus starts blessing through you, a lot of great, wonderful things happen. By the way, Abe, if you guys didn't get to see him when he did his quick run through town, he sends his greetings and loves everybody. And, you know, just part of this community too. It's been a pleasure to know that we're in a place where it's safe to fall apart. It's safe to not be yourself. It's safe to have down days, because we know that other people are going to come beside you and lift you up. Like when Moses couldn't hold that staff, and Aaron and who was the other dude on his other side? Hur. They took care of him and held his arms up, and he was able to oversee the battle that was won. And we know that it's through the strength of God, but God pours His strength into His people, and His strength comes through us into each other. Iron sharpening iron. Everybody's going to get better from having known one another. It doesn't mean we're perfect. We're on the wrong side of the grave for that. But it does mean that we can just keep loving each other like you have been. Today's message, as we close out this last part of chapter 24, verses 13 to 53 of Luke, we are on page 1694 in the Pew Bible. Jesus shows up and goes up. This is kind of a happy message. Dr. Luke is finishing up some of the things. He tells this one story that none of the other Gospels tell, the Road to Emmaus story, and I love this. I think this is one of those places in Scripture. as you're reading through Scripture, sometimes you think, I would have loved to have been there and seen that or heard that. This is one of those. I wish I could have been on that walk with Jesus. 7-mile walk with Jesus, can you imagine that? Well, he's explaining all of Scripture from Moses and the prophets and the Psalms all the way through, and he's saying, yeah, this was about the Messiah. This is, he explained how it was all about him. And boy, that would be a journey worth taking many times. So let's jump into it. Behold, on that very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus. What does that mean, on that very day? Well, that was the day that the ladies went to the tomb and found that he was gone. They were going to bring these incense and embalming fluid and all this kind of stuff. They're going to take care of the body, and there's no body. It's gone. And then a couple of angels show up in bright clothing and explain to them, why are you looking for the living here where the dead are? He's alive. And so they went back and told all the disciples, the people that were kind of hanging out, hiding out because of what had been going on. And they explained to them what they'd seen and what they'd heard. And there was still disbelief. Peter wasn't sure. He's kind of hoping. So he runs down to the tomb, and John goes with him. And they confirm that, yes, there's no body in the tomb. He's gone. But they didn't see Jesus. And so then it was on that day, that very day, that these two of them, we don't know who they were for sure. We find out the name of one of them is Cleopas. The other one might be his wife. Or it could be one of the other guys that were hanging out with him. We don't know for sure who this second unknown disciple was. A lot of conjecture. Some people thought it was Luke as they look through history here. I don't know. At any rate, there's two people walking along the road. And it says it's 60 stadia from Jerusalem. So they're going about 7 miles. They were talking with each other about all these things which had taken place. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking?" And they came to a stop, looking sad. One of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, "Are you possibly the only one living near Jerusalem who does not know about the things that happened here in these days?" And he said to them, "What sort of things?" And they said to him, "Those about Jesus the Nazarene, who proved to be a prophet, mighty in deed and word, and in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death and crucified him. But we were hoping." You can see the sadness in their they stop, they're sad. They tell him, "Don't you know what's been going on?" And they're saying, "We were hoping." This is past tense. They've lost hope. This two people walking along the road talking about all the terrible things that had happened had lost hope. Have you ever been in that situation yourself, or been around other people that all they can do is just, it's like, I was kind of thinking that maybe, and I was hoping that, but that hope's gone now, whatever circumstances it is. I know Dan and his family right now, that they lose a niece, a wife, a mother, a daughter. They were hoping she would live longer. They've lost hope. "We were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel." I think that's when everybody was shouting, "Hosanna in the highest," and they're bringing him into the city and thinking, yeah, this is going to be it. Finally, we're going to be out from the Roman rule, and we're going to have full redemption. We're going to have this kingdom. And indeed, besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. "But also some women among us left us bewildered." Now, guys, I think we could probably say that about a lot of things, but this particular situation, it's because when they were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And so some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women also had said. What a shock, the women were right. But him they did not see. And then Jesus said to them, "You foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to come into his glory? Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things written about himself in all the scriptures." That would be a remarkable Bible study.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, yeah. God himself is walking on the road with these two and explaining to them, yeah, when all of this was taking place, way back in Genesis, when Adam and Eve sinned and there was a Messiah that was promised from the seed. And of course, when Adam and Eve have a kid, it's like, this is going to be the one, yeah. Abel and Cain and then Seth, and you know, you get it, it's like, whoa. The story kept going on and on, but everything in the Old Testament scriptures keeps pointing to the Messiah, to Jesus. And there were things explained in the prophets about how he was going to suffer and die and then come back to life. And the rule and reign part, everybody liked that. It's like, okay, yeah, we want a king. But this suffering part, not so much. Jesus is explaining all of this as he goes. And they approached the village where they were going, and he gave the impression that he was going further. And so they strongly urged him, saying, "Stay with us, for it is getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over." I'm guessing at that point they really would have liked this Bible study to continue. There's a rabbi that's walking with them, and he has a lot of knowledge. And he's explaining things that they hadn't really understood so clearly before. So he went in to stay with them. And it came about when he had reclined at the table with them that he took the bread and blessed it, and he broke it and began giving it to them. And then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. Now you remember they said, it's getting late, so you should come and stay with us, right? The next thing they do after this happens, they say, were our hearts not burning within us when he was speaking to us on the road while he was explaining the scriptures to us? It's like, wow. Our hearts were burning. We didn't even recognize him. And now we know who it was. We can't hold this in any longer. And they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem. They walked another 7 miles back to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and those who were with them. And they're saying, the Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon. So there's a lot happening during this time period. If you look in Corinthians, it explains that Jesus, during that 40-day period, from the getting out of the grave and going and ascending into heaven, was seen by 500 people at one time. He was seen by Simon. He was seen by a whole lot of other people. So Jesus is showing up and appearing to a number of different people. I love that he appeared to these two relatively unknown disciples. Jesus likes to appear to all of us. He's not just for the high and mighty or the famous. He loves everybody. And they're saying, wow. They began to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them at the breaking of bread. Now, while they were telling these things, Jesus himself suddenly stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be to you." It's kind of like the same thing every time the angels show up, kind of unsuspecting, and it's like, here's a heavenly being, and what's our reaction to that is, oh, fear, don't be afraid, peace be to you. But they were startled and frightened and thought that they were looking at a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you frightened and why are doubts arising in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is myself. Touch me and see, because a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you plainly see that I have." think Dr. Luke wanted to make sure that all of us understood, but especially Theophilus, who he's writing this to, that Jesus was a risen human. He was in the flesh. And why is that so important? Well, because when we die, we're going to be risen again. They didn't necessarily recognize him immediately. There was something a little bit different about Jesus after the grave. But he was flesh and blood. Flesh and bones, as you plainly see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they still could not believe it because of their joy and astonishment. So they're frightened and they're joyous and astonished. And you know they're going through an emotional roller coaster. He said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They served him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in front of them. Now he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all the things that are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." He'd been teaching these same things that he taught on that road to Emmaus with them for a few years. And here he is again. He appears to the disciples, and it's the same message. Look to the Scriptures. Look to the Scriptures. When we're kind of falling apart and we need some encouragement, we've got God's holy word available to us. Most of us have it on our phones, in our pockets. Most of us have access to it numerous different ways. We can find Scripture and be encouraged by Scripture. If you can't, find somebody that can and they can walk you through it. Because there's nothing more encouraging than knowing that every time God promised something or predicted something, his prophets were true prophets, it came about, it took place. Then he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures and said to them, "So it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem." You are witnesses of these things. And that's something that when you read the book of John, he makes it pretty clear, yeah, we're eyewitnesses. We saw what happened. So when we get Scripture, it's written by the witnesses, the ones that were there, and we're getting it from different perspectives, and you tie it all together, and it just, it works well. "Behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you." What was that promise of the Father? Holy Spirit. "But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. There's a lot of walking going on that day. It's like if you want to get close to God, start walking. You know what? He just might show up and walk along with you. Maybe not physically, but he certainly can refresh your mind and help you understand better what you're going through, whatever's happening, whatever you've been mulling. He can bring some clarity to it. "Lifted up his hands and blessed them, and while he was blessing them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they, after worshiping him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising God." Now, it feels like there should be more to this story. Good news is Dr. Luke didn't stop here. He wrote a second volume, the Book of Acts. And when you read the Book of Acts, it kind of gives a quick synopsis of this part and then moves on to the rest of what happened, the acts that Jesus did. He began them, and then we continue them through the church. God's work is not done, but he's working through the weak and lowly us Christians. It's kind of a beautiful thing that Dr. Luke tied all this together. He in the book of Acts, moved into the ministry of Paul relatively quickly as you go through Acts, and then how the church was spreading. When Jesus said that it's going to spread to all the nations starting in Jerusalem, Judea, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. I don't think there's very many places, if any, right now that the Word of God is not accessible to. With the internet and everything else that's going on, there's access. Got a friend that's been working with Wycliffe Bible translators. Most of his life has been in India, and he's helped a number of dialects that aren't even written get the word. And at first they were translating it into written word, and then they would have to teach everybody how to read. And what they found was it's better to get them devices where they can listen to the word, so the written and spoken word of God, and there's so many different ways to get the word into your heart, into your life. If you speak English, we've got myriad of ways to know Scripture and to know God through Scripture. I love that Dr. Luke talks about how they went to the temple praising God, and then they were waiting. And then when you get to Acts, it's like Holy Spirit shows up and a lot of things change. And if we know Jesus, if he has truly touched us and we are recognizing that we're accepted in the Beloved, that we know that our past and even our present and future sins have been paid for on the cross. We don't want to keep on sinning. We want to honor God for who he is and what he's done in our lives. Church isn't some place where you should go and hear somebody railing at you about your sins. I think it's something, if you know Jesus, you know you're a sinner. Holy Spirit does the convicting. It doesn't take other humans to do the convicting. Now, there are occasions where a person will come to us and speak a word and try to draw us back to God. We can do that with one another, but let's always remember to do it cautiously and carefully so we don't fall into sin as well. It's too easy to start thinking that we're better than others, and we see problems in their lives and we start looking down our noses at them, and yet I'm looking at these disciples, the ones that walked with Jesus, so you know, all of them, Peter the most vocal, but all of them proclaimed, we're going to be with you to the end, and then they disappeared as soon as he was arrested and bailed on him. And there was some restoration necessary. That takes place. It happens. Do we need restored? Are we in a place where our walk with God has been broken? Ever? How many times this week did we kind of mutter under our breath? None of you, probably. But sometimes I go there. Kathy could confirm that. It's good that we have one another to lean on, to lift each other up, to encourage. And it's okay. If you're going to start falling apart, do it with your friends. Don't try to go into a hole by yourself. Don't go into a bottle. Don't go into whatever vices that might be trying to draw you. Food, whatever it is. Gossip. But be willing to fall apart with your friends, because they're going to help you get put back together. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. We're thrilled that this gospel is truly good news, that you are not a God that lived a great life and then died a martyr, but you died victorious over sin and over death. And we know that even though we may die here as humans, we will have eternal life with you. Life everlasting in that place that you're preparing for us. I'm looking forward, Jesus, to the city that doesn't have infrastructure that falls apart. That city that we know you are the light. We never lose power, and it's just such an awesome thing to know that you're going to love, care for, and communicate and commune with us forever and ever. Help us to be encouraged by that. Let that be the hope within us. Don't let us be walking down the road sad and hopeless, but recognizing that the best is yet to come, that you truly have not forgotten any of us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.